in John the 16th chapter and verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Some translations say, "In union with me." In union with me, you might have peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation." Vincent Word Studies says, "You have tribulation." Not "you shall have," but "you have tribulation." I like one translation, it says pressure. In the world you have pressure. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. You already know that, don't you? There's trouble in the world. There's pressure in the world. There are problems in the world. Jesus was just recognizing that fact. He wasn't prophesying doom to us. In fact, he was saying the exact opposite. He's saying, yes, in the world you have pressure. You have trouble. You have problems. But I've spoken some things unto you that you might have peace. Hallelujah. Peace. Now to the Hebrew, peace means more than just the absence of war. Peace means prosperity and freedom from trouble is what peace means. It's the very opposite of trouble. Peace. In me you might have peace. In union with me, Jesus said, you have peace. In the world you have trouble, pressure. But be of good cheer. One translation says, be of good courage. Another says, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. We're talking today about overcome. Overcome. It's God's directive to His people to be overcomers. What does the word overcome mean? In the Greek, it's the word nikeo. It comes from the Greek word nike. And the Greek word nike means victory. The Greek word nike, it's nikeo. It means, according to Strong's, to subdue, conquer, overcome, prevail, or get the victory. Jesus said, be of good cheer, be encouraged. I've conquered, I've overcome, I've prevailed, I've got the victory. Some might say, well, that's fine. That's good, I know Jesus conquered. Wait a minute. Everything Jesus did, He did for you. When He conquered the world, He didn't do it for His own benefit. He didn't do it for His own account, but He did it on your account. And everything He did, you got the credit for it. So when He says, I have overcome the world, and He said, in union with me, you can have peace, you can be free from the trouble. He says, I've overcome, I've conquered, I've prevailed, I've got the victory. Then that means that you've got the victory in Him. You say, well, I'm just not too sure about that. We'll turn over to the first epistle to John, chapter 5, in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not heavy, it says literally. Not heavy, not hard. Why? For whatsoever is born of God, when we're born of God, we receive the power. Robertson, in his word picture, says, the reason why God's commandments are not heavy is the power that comes with the new birth from God. When you're born again, when you receive eternal life, you get new power. You get new ability. You've got the ability to walk in love, and that's God's commandment, isn't it? To walk in love even as He walked in love. To love others even as He loved you. That's His commandment. And it's not a hard and heavy and a burdensome thing. It's not something that's real grievous to carry around. Why? Because with the new birth, with being born of God, you receive that innate ability. You have that inner ability in you to do it. To do what? To love even as God loves you. To desire the best for other people. To see other people as valuable and precious. You get that ability. And His commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. Whatsoever. Some studies, they said that the way that's constructed in the Greek, it's making it plain that this is a universal thing when it says whatsoever. It's talking about people, but that's why I'm sure the King James translators translated it as whatsoever. It's denoting a universality there in the Greek. In other words, anyone, everyone, any and all that are born of God overcometh the world. See, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's literally the victory that has overcome the world. Robertson, in his word picture, says on this that overcometh, he says, I'm sure you won't probably know much more about this than I did, but he says it's the first aorist active articular participle of nikeo. Anyway, he says concerning that the English cannot reproduce the play on the word here. The aorist tense singles out an individual experience when one believed or when one met temptation with victory. Jesus won the victory over the world. Hallelujah. Jesus won that victory. And it's our faith. Galatians 2:20 tells us that we live now by the faith of the Son of God. We receive the same faith that was in Jesus Christ when He overcame the world. We didn't get Joe Blow's faith. We got a measure of Jesus' faith. Hallelujah. If you had a gold coin, and you knew that that gold coin was part of King Solomon's throne, that gold that was in that coin had been a part of that throne that he sat on, well, that would have a little bit more significance for you. This is not a perfect illustration, but what I'm saying to you is the faith that you have when you receive Jesus and you become a Christian, the faith that you have in your heart was present when Jesus conquered the enemy. It was present in Him. It was the faith that He used to conquer the adversary for you. It was the very faith that caused Him to be raised from the dead. It was the very faith that allowed Him to be seated at the right hand of the Father in His throne, even as God sits in His throne. That same faith was in Him, and now it's been given unto you, a measure of it, and that's the faith that you have in your heart. And that's what this verse is saying. Whatsoever is born of God has overcome the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Hallelujah. See, our faith is already overcome. We're dealing with something, people, that's tested, that's proven out. Praise the Lord. Airplane companies, Navy, Air Force, Army, employ people they call test pilots. When they build a new airplane, a new type of airplane, they don't just put it on the out here at Stapleton International Airport and load up a couple hundred people in it and take them to London. The first time that they try those planes out, they have a test pilot. Test pilots take them out. See what they'll do. See if they're safe. Take them to the limits of their tolerance, what they want them to do, and see if it'll work or not. See if it'll come up to the specifications that it was manufactured to be able to do. Well, Jesus took this life, this faith, and He tested it out. And it hasn't been found wanting, but it was found to be 100% effective. It overcame every principality, every power, every force, every ruler, every dominion, every evil thing, everything that was arrayed against all of humanity. It defeated them openly and totally, neutralized their power. And then Jesus said, here, you can have it. You can have my faith. It worked for me. It'll work for anyone that has it. It's just like a gun. If I had a gun right here and I pulled the trigger and it was loaded and it would work, if it had other bullets in it, I could give that gun to you, and if you'd pulled the trigger, it'd work for you just like it worked for me, wouldn't it? Well, Jesus is handing you something in the new birth and saying, here's my power, here's my faith, this faith works. But yet a lot of us have stood around with the gun in our hand, studying it, pointing it at her nose, hanging it on the wall, framing it, telling their neighbors about it. Oh, look at this nice gun. But until you pull the trigger, it won't work for you. But if you pull the trigger, it'll work for you. If you don't know how to pull the trigger of your faith, you can find out from the Bible that it's through words released out of your mouth. The words that you speak are the trigger that releases your faith and allows it to get out there and continue the overcoming that Jesus did for you. Let's look at some other translations of this. Remember, this word overcome now means to conquer, to get the victory, to subdue. Fenton says, because everyone born from God conquers the world. And this is the conquest which has conquered the world. I like that, because really in verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world. It's a play on words there. It says, this is the Nike that Nikeo the world. So I like the way Fenton translates it, because it's the same word, you know, just the root and the derivative. This is the conquest which has conquered the world. Notice, has, past tense, is a past tense fact. It's already worked. It's already conquered the world, our faith. Aren't you glad that the faith you receive as a child of God is tested and tried and proven? Jesus doesn't give us something that he doesn't know whether it's going to work or not. He gave us something that he personally tested out and proved. Hallelujah! Who is the conqueror of the world, if not the believer that Jesus is the Son of God? Jerusalem Bible says, who can overcome the world? Only the man who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Williams says, for every child of God continues to conquer the world. There is that continuing sense there in the Greek as I studied this out. In fact, Robertson in his word picture says, it's the present active indicative of Nikeo, and it means a continuous victory because a continuous struggle. He says, keeps on conquering the world is how he translates it. Keeps on conquering the world. Keeps on. Every child of God continues to conquer the world. Every child of God keeps on conquering the world. Every child of God continues to walk in this victory that Jesus wrought. You say, wait a minute. You haven't been over at my house lately. You haven't been around me lately. And maybe not, but God has. God believes in you. And God is a faith being. And God has released his faith on your behalf. And if you will begin to agree with God, you'll get somewhere. Rather, he'll see that you get somewhere. His power will get you somewhere. But if you refuse to agree with God and you absolutely demand that you are going to go only by how you feel, irregardless of what God has said, you're just going to spin your wheels. And when I say spin your wheels, you're going to stay spinning your wheels in the muck, in the mire, and the problems of this earth. Because there's only one way to overcome it. There's only one way to be victorious over the problems that are in this world, over the things that would drag men and women down, over the things that would keep them from being the full expression that God created man to be in this earth, from them having the fullness of joy and material possessions and health that God created them to have. There's only one way to overcome that, and that's by the victory that Jesus has purchased for us. The victory that he wrought and our faith in that victory. Our faith in him as the world overcomer. Every child of God continues to conquer the world. That's what God says about you. Agree with what God says. Our faith, Williams, I'm going on with Williams, our faith is the victory that has conquered the world. You see, as we look at different translations here, it helps us to see how the tenses of the words make a lot of difference, doesn't it? And you see that it's not just one Greek expert, but it's several people that are saying here that this is a past tense thing. It's something actually that's past tense, but it's a continuing thing. The Greek has that, the English doesn't. The Greek language has that ability, but the English language doesn't. To say that something happened in the past, but it's a continuous thing. This victory was accomplished in the past, but it's still effective today. It's a continuous thing. It's good continually. Now, who is it that continues to conquer the world if it is not the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Philip says, in fact, this faith of ours is the only way in which the world can be conquered. This faith of ours, well, where did we receive it? We received it from the Son of God. We received it when we received the Son of God by believing on Him. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power, that is, the right, the authority, the privilege to become the sons of God. Cleason Lilly says, every child of God has enough strength to become a victor over the world. You've got enough strength. What is your strength? Say, oh, my strength is small. Oh, I don't have the education. I don't have the connections. I don't have the finesse. I don't have the ability. Wait a minute. You have another strength if you're a child of God. You have the strength, inner strength. The strength of the faith of the Son of God. You have a portion of the faith of Jesus on the inside of you when you're born again. And that strength, that power is strong enough to overcome everything. That power is strong enough to overcome your lack of education. That power is strong enough to overcome your bad past. That power is strong enough to overcome everything that gets in your path if you'll release it. It's kind of like a giant guard dog. You got him chained up and the burglar knows how far the chain comes. The burglar just goes on in and steals, kills, and destroys. But you turn that guard dog loose where he's not on the chain, and he'll work. That's the way with your faith. You keep it chained up. You never release it. Just keep it in your heart. Somebody says, oh, I got all the faith in the world, Pastor. That's the problem. You got it. You got to turn loose of it. You got to release it. You got to put it to use. You got to speak words out of your mouth. You got to speak to the problems. You got to use this faith. Sure, Jesus wrought the victory. Sure, what He's given us is already tested and tried and proven. But unless you and I will rise up in cooperation with the Lord and keep the enemy under our feet, he's just kind of like a greased pig. He's going to slip out from under you and be coming up behind you and shooting some fiery darts at you and trying to get you to accept defeat, but you don't have to. 20th century says, all that has received the new life from God conquers the world. We get new life. We become partakers of a new nature. We become new people on the inside. We're joined up with a different crowd. We're joined up with God, and He believes in victory. Stringfellow says, every child which has been begotten of God is victorious over the world. Victorious over the world. And this is a victory which is victorious over the world. This is the victory which is victorious over the world, our faith. Goodspeed says, every child of God is victorious over the world. What is it talking about when it's talking about the world? It's talking about the Greek word cosmos. It's not talking about the dirt. No, it's talking about the world order that's alienated from and opposed to God. It's talking about the world system. It's talking about the order in this planet that Satan and sin and sickness and spiritual death has created. It's an order of fear. It's an order of doubt. It's a world order of sickness and poverty. It's a world order of defeat. But Jesus says, I've overcome.